This program is provided by lawyer Kyung-jin Kim.
If you look at almost any high-end restaurant menu today, or you know, if you've just spent 10 minutes watching a culinary travel show, you're going to encounter this absolute obsession with one single concept.
Oh, yeah. Freshness.
Right. Freshness. I mean, we are so culturally conditioned to look for phrases like line caught this morning, or farm to table, or flown in overnight.
It's treated as the undisputed gold standard, especially with seafood.
Exactly. We are taught that the closer a fish is to the ocean, the better it tastes. And, well, the freezer aisle is essentially treated as a culinary graveyard.
Yeah, a place where ingredients just go to lose their soul.
Yeah, exactly. But today, in this deep dive, we are completely flipping that fresh is best script for you. We're giving you a roadmap to understanding and making a specific Korean stew.
And this is a dish that doesn't just tolerate frozen fish, but it actually demands it.
Demands it.
Right.
We're looking at a culinary tradition that celebrates the frozen state as the entire point of the meal. And, you know, by the end of this deep dive, you should have the conceptual tools to pull this off in your own kitchen, no matter where you live.
Because exploring this really changes the entire paradigm of how we think about texture and the actual purpose of preservation.
So the dish is called Dongtai Jjigae. And to really grasp what this dish is doing, we kind of have to break down the language first, right?
Yeah, let's look at the name. It's pronounced Dongtai Jjigae.
Dongtai Jjigae. And the second half, Jjigae, categorizes the dish. It's a fundamental pillar of Korean cuisine.
Right. And it's important to clarify what that means, because when you hear the word stew in a Western context, you might, I don't know, think of a thick, flour-heavy gravy with big chunks of meat.
Yeah, like a beef stew that's super dense and heavy.
Exactly. But a jjigae is different. It's this robust, intensely savory bubbling pot where the liquid and the solid ingredients are in a constant dynamic balance.
It isn't just a starter quart either. It's often the anchor of the entire meal.
Right. And then the first half of the name, Dongtai, that translates literally to frozen pollock.
So if you're looking for recipes online, you'll often see it listed simply as pollock stew.
Yeah, it's a refreshingly straightforward name. It tells you exactly what the focal point of the dish is going to be.
But, you know, calling it just pollock stew almost undersells the science happening in the pot.
Oh, completely.
Because think about it. If I take a block of fresh, delicate white fish, like a cod or a fresh pollock, and I just boil it vigorously in a broth for 40 minutes, I mean, I'm going to end up with a cloudy, disintegrated mess.
Yeah, fresh fish just flakes and falls apart under that kind of prolonged heat.
Right. So the natural assumption is that boiling a frozen fish would just result in the exact same mushy disaster, only colder at the start.
And I mean, that assumption makes perfect sense if you only view freezing as a storage mechanism.
Right. Like just hitting the pause button on decay.
Exactly. But in the context of Dongtai, freezing is an active culinary technique.
Okay, break that down for us. What is actually happening to the fish?
Well, when the pollock is frozen, the water inside the cellular structure of the fish turns into microscopic ice crystals.
Okay.
And these ice crystals physically disrupt the muscle fibers. But more importantly, the freezing process draws moisture out of the protein matrix.
So the freezing is actually dehydrating the protein on a microscopic level.
Yes, exactly. It concentrates the proteins and tightens those bonds.
Wow.
So when you take that chemically altered frozen fish and introduce it to a simmering broth, the proteins coagulate differently than they would in a fresh fish.
So instead of yielding and just falling apart in the pot.
Right. Instead of falling apart, the flesh develops this incredibly firm, resilient structure. It holds its shape against the boiling liquid.
And it provides a really satisfying muscular resistance to the tooth.
Yeah. You are creating a texture that is physically impossible to achieve with a fresh catch.
That is so wild. It reframes the entire concept of the freezer for me.
Yeah, the freezer isn't a waiting room anymore. It's a prep station.
A prep station. I love that. And this firm texture becomes the centerpiece of a dish that takes, what, about 40 minutes to cook from start to finish?
Yeah, roughly 40 minutes. It sits at about a medium difficulty level for a home cook.
But, I mean, that difficulty doesn't come from complex knife work or intricate plating, right?
No, not at all. It comes from managing the environment that the fish is cooking in. The environment is everything here.
So let's talk about that environment. To understand how it works, we have to look at the other major structural components.
Right, the broth and the vegetables, specifically Korean radish.
You know, I look at the construction of this stew a lot like building a house.
Okay, I like that analogy.
Yeah, so the broth and the hearty vegetables, the radish, They are the foundation and the framing.
Right.
You have to lay them down first, and they establish this deep structural base. They're doing the invisible work of holding everything up.
And the frozen pollock is the house itself.
Exactly. It's the star attraction. It's the element you are there to experience. But it cannot exist without that solid foundation underneath it.
And the mortar holding it all together is the chemical interaction between those ingredients.
Right. So let's push that analogy further. The foundation is actively shaping the house.
Yes. And the Korean radish, which is known as mu, is totally crucial here.
Now, for anyone who hasn't used it, how is mud different from like a typical radish you'd see in a salad?
Well, it is much larger and denser than a standard red Western radish, and it has a very high water content, plus a really subtle earthy sweetness to it.
So it's not super peppery like a small red radish.
No, not at all. It's mild and sweet. And when you introduce chunks of this radish into the savory broth, a process of cellular osmosis begins.
So the radish is basically exchanging liquids with the surrounding environment.
Precisely. As the prolonged heat breaks down the pectin in the radish's cell walls, making it softer, it starts to act like a sponge.
Oh, drawing in the flavor.
Exactly. It pulls in the deep, umami-rich notes of the broth. But simultaneously, it releases its own internal water and natural sugars out into the liquid.
It's a two-way street.
Yeah. The broth becomes slightly sweeter and thicker from the starches in the vegetable, and the vegetable becomes deeply infused with the savory flavors of the sea.
That totally explains the textural contrast waiting in the bowl. I mean, you have this incredibly firm, dense, frozen pollock that actually requires a deliberate chew.
Right.
Sitting right next to a piece of radish that has been softened to the point of just melting in your mouth, saturated with broth.
And that contrast only works if the baseline flavors are balanced. Which actually brings up the dietary specifications of the dish.
Oh, right. We should mention that. This is traditionally a strict, unapologetic seafood affair.
Yes. There is no pork, no beef, and no chicken involved.
Which is a critical note for anyone managing severe seafood allergies. You really need to know that going in.
Absolutely. The umami base is usually built on dried anchovies, kelp, and the intrinsic maritime flavor of the pollock itself.
But, you know, we'll talk about a really cool vegetarian substitution a little later.
Yes, definitely. We'll get to that.
But first, I want to talk about the spice level. Because if I order a Korean stew, I am usually bracing myself for a very specific physical reaction.
You're expecting to sweat.
Yes. The stereotype is that all jjigae will arrive at the table glowing bright red, loaded with chili flakes, and guaranteed to just light you up.
Right, but looking at the flavor profile of Dongtai Jjigae, it seems to actively reject that intense heat.
It does. It targets a remarkably mild heat level, which, you know, often surprises international diners.
But if you consider the culinary mechanics we just discussed, the radish, the osmosis, the delicate fish, the mildness is actually a necessity.
Right, because if you flood the pot with capsaicin, you just blow out the palate.
You wouldn't be able to taste the subtle sweetness the radish just spent 30 minutes releasing into the broth.
And you would completely mask the specific clean flavor of the white fish.
Exactly. The goal of this dish is to highlight the oceanic savoriness, not to challenge your pain tolerance.
I mean, the spice is present, right? It's not totally absent.
No, it's there. But it functions as a background note. It's like a gentle, warming hum that elevates the savory elements rather than acting as the main event.
So knowing what it should taste like, mild, clean, savory, and what it should feel like, firm flesh against yielding vegetables, the practical question becomes how a curious cook outside of Korea actually brings this to life.
Because sourcing specialized international ingredients can be super intimidating if you don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah, you might feel like you need to find some specialized fish market. But the sourcing is actually much more accessible than people assume.
Largely because you are bypassing the fresh seafood counter entirely.
Right. You are heading straight to the international freezer aisles.
You are looking for white fish, specifically pollock.
And depending on where you live, especially in Spanish-speaking regions or supermarkets with heavy Latin American imports, you will frequently find it labeled as abadejo congelado.
Yes, abadejo congelado. It is an incredibly common, highly affordable frozen staple globally.
So you do not need to track down an artisan fishmonger.
Not at all. You just need to ensure you are buying a firm, white, frozen fish.
Now, we mentioned earlier that the traditional recipe is heavily reliant on seafood, but the architecture of the stew is so structurally sound that a vegetarian substitution is highly viable.
It really is. If you want to experience the philosophy of the stew without the pollock, You essentially build the same house using different materials.
How does that work? Because you're losing the anchovies in the fish.
The vegetarian approach relies entirely on maximizing the foundation we discussed earlier. You would swap the anchovy base for a robust vegetable or kelp broth.
Oh, okay. Leaning heavily on the kelp, the kombu.
Exactly. Heavily leaning on the kombu to provide the glutamic acids that trigger that umami sensation on the tongue.
Right, because kombu is basically an umami powerhouse.
It is, and you would still utilize the Korean radish for that sweet, savory liquid exchange.
But what about the fish? How do you replace that firm, muscular texture?
To replace the firm texture of the frozen fish, you would introduce a dense, firm tofu.
Okay, I love that. You know, modifying a traditional recipe for a different kitchen is a lot like playing a cover of a famous song.
A cover song.
Yeah. Yeah, like you might not have the exact same instruments the original band used. Maybe you have to transpose the key because of the ingredients available in your local grocery store.
Right. You adapt to what you have.
But as long as you respect the core melody of the song, the performance still works.
That's a great way to look at it. And in the case of Dontai Jjigae, that core melody is the interplay of a firm texture against a soft texture, swimming in a mild, deeply savory broth.
But maintaining that melody requires avoiding the common pitfalls that give this dish its medium difficulty rating, right?
Yeah, definitely. Because the mistakes home cooks make here are rarely about failing at some complex culinary technique.
They're almost always failures of patience and balance.
Right. So let's talk about those wrong notes.
Yeah, let's get into the common mistakes.
Yeah.
The most immediate one seems to be rushing the foundation.
Yes. If you just throw the water, the radish, the aromatics, and the frozen fish into the pot all at the same time and turn on the heat,
you're sabotaging the chemical process.
You really are. You are denying the broth the time it needs to develop.
Because the radish hasn't had time to break down its cell walls yet.
Exactly. If it hasn't released its sugars and the aromatics haven't infused the liquid, the resulting stew will taste incredibly thin and watery.
The broth needs a head start to establish its depth before the fish is introduced to coagulate.
Going back to your house analogy, you have to let the framing set before you put the heavy roof on.
Otherwise, the structure just collapses.
Yes. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have the danger of overcooking the vegetables to the point of absolute disintegration.
Oh, right. Because you want the radish soft, but if you let it boil until it loses all structural integrity,
it turns into a homogeneous, cloudy paste.
And you lose that crucial textural contrast with the fish.
Yeah, the sensory experience just becomes muddy. A vegetable paste completely ruins the dynamic nature of a jjigae.
The liquid needs to remain distinct from the solids.
Always. And that actually ties into the final common mistake, which we touched on earlier, regarding the heat level.
Right, the spice. Home cooks trying to chase a sense of authenticity often heavy-hand the chili powder.
They assume more spice makes it more traditionally Korean.
But adding aggressive heat to a dish designed around delicate oceanic flavors and sweet radish simply flattens the profile.
It leaves the stew tasting harsh and completely unbalanced.
You know, navigating these distinct challenges, understanding the cellular changes of freezing, managing the osmosis of the radish, and restraining the impulse to overspice, it teaches you so much more than just how to make one specific dinner.
It really does. It functions as a masterclass in the broader philosophy of Korean food culture.
How so? Like, what's the big picture takeaway here?
Well, mastering Dontai Jjigae fundamentally shifts your perspective on the utility of ingredients. I mean, in historical contexts, freezing was a matter of survival during harsh winters.
Right. Just a way to keep food edible until the thaw.
Exactly. But Korean cuisine evolved to view these preservation methods not just as a limitation or a chore, but as an opportunity for innovation.
So it isn't just about making the fish last until spring.
No, it's about leveraging the winter cold to invent a texture that summer could literally never provide.
Wow, that's beautiful. And that philosophy extends to fermenting and drying as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. The culture demonstrates a profound mastery of taking raw materials and subjecting them to environmental stressors to elevate them.
Elevating them into something entirely new and significantly more complex.
And the jjigae itself is a reflection of this mindset. It is an ecosystem in a pot where no single ingredient works in isolation.
Right. The frozen fish needs the savory liquid to absorb flavor.
And the savory liquid needs the sweetness of the radish to achieve balance.
Every element justifies the existence of the others.
It forces you to cook with intention, you know?
Yeah.
Recognizing that the way ingredients interact over time is just as important as the quality of the ingredients themselves.
Which brings me to a final thought I want to leave you with today.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, the next time you are navigating the grocery store and you find yourself pushing your cart down the frozen food aisle, take a moment to look at it differently.
Just shift your perspective.
Yeah, because we are so conditioned to see those frosty bags and icy boxes as compromises. You know, the place we go for lazy meals or desperate backups when we haven't planned ahead.
The culinary graveyard.
Exactly. But if you apply the philosophy of Dongtai Jige, that aisle stops being a graveyard of freshness.
It really does.
Imagine it instead as a vast, untapped library of completely different physical properties and textures, just waiting for the right bubbling pot of broth to unlock their potential.
I love that. It reminds us that culinary excellence isn't just about sourcing the most pristine, expensive catch.
Right. It's about understanding the science of your ingredients well enough to coax brilliance out of a frozen block of pollock. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you walk away equipped with the conceptual blueprint to try Dongtai Jige in your own kitchen. And more importantly, that you continue to view the everyday ingredients in your freezer as an opportunity for endless, surprising discovery.
This program is provided by Lawyer Kyungjin Kim.